title on this Sunday's set of readings, it would be the Sunday of Lost Things. We had a vicar on Sunday preach about the lost coin and the lost sheep. I think he focused on the lost sheep. If we would have extended the parable out for the entirety of Luke 15, we would have had the lost son. And in fact, you'll notice that both sons are lost, both the younger son and the older son. And then in our epistle, which will be our focus for tonight, we're going to look at the lost Paul. The lost Paul. And how the Lord found the lost Paul and showed mercy to him. And if he can show mercy to St. Paul, who calls himself the very foremost of sinners, then he can show mercy to you and to me. Thanks be to God. Our order of worship tonight will be a service of prayer and preaching on page 260. Our opening hymn, number 616, Baptismal Waters, Cover Me, we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that you sought out your lost sheep. You came and took flesh for that very purpose, to seek out those who were lost, to bring back those who had strayed, to bring us back into the sheepfold of your kingdom. We beg you, O Lord, that you would assure us that just as you found the lost Paul, so you have delivered, you have saved, you have forgiven us when we were lost. In your holy, your precious name we pray. Amen. Opening hymn 616. 616. Service of Prayer and Preaching, page 260, page 260, we stand. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day on your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
from the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We sing. The Old Testament lesson from Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant together the words of the introit as printed on your bulletin insert.
epistle is
from 1 Timothy, the first chapter. I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of our gradual, we speak them together.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. I call to God, and the Lord will save me. He redeems my soul in safety.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, Your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of Your house and the place where Your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of Your house and the place where Your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of Your house and the place where Your glory dwells.
The Ten Commandments.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
The Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is the epistle lesson read a few moments ago from the first chapter of St. Paul's first letter to Pastor Timothy, dear friends in Christ. Imagine that you are in prison. Now this prison is filled with hardened criminals, each and every one of them, including you, condemned to death. But there is one that is worse than all the others. Everyone in the prison knows who he is. Everyone knows what he has done. And there is no question that of the many vile offenders dwelling in that place, he is the most deserving of death. Now imagine that the governor has set forth a proclamation to set all the prisoners in your prison free. He has pardoned everyone. The rumor of this pardon has come to the prison. Will you believe it? It sounds too good to be true. And so what do? You, along with everyone else, peer over at that high security cell where that worst of criminals is kept. If he is set free, then you can know with confidence that the governor's words are true. If you watch him leave a free man, you will rejoice that you are free too. That worst of prisoners has a name: Paul. His crimes? Persecution. Blasphemy against God himself, who just happens to be the governor who issued the pardon. This governor came in the flesh to win this pardon for all the prisoners, and St. Paul refused to recognize him. You see, Jesus asked his followers a very important question. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" The whole world is confronted with that question. You, me, even Paul. And he gave this very pointed answer: "You are a false teacher." And so St. Paul persecuted the church. He persecuted, he raged in violence against those who, with Peter, gave the right answer. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He threw Jesus' followers in prison. He made their lives miserable. He sought them out. He disrupted their gatherings. He even supervised the stoning of Stephen. You see, throughout his life, Jesus made many powerful statements of identity. He said, "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd." Now, in prison, Paul has an "I am" statement of his own. "I am the foremost." The foremost what? The foremost sinner. Paul had all the human righteousness that a person could have. He followed the law to the letter. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. His righteous life was undeniable. It was the admiration of all who saw him, an example to follow. But his righteous life couldn't save him from this prison, for he violated the first and most important commandment and thus became a transgressor of them all. For he rejected Jesus, the very Son of God. He even persecuted Christ's church. He gave the wrong answer to Christ's vital question: who do you say that I am? And for that, he is condemned. For that, he says of himself, I am the foremost. You see, if there is anyone in that prison who doesn't deserve pardon, it's Paul. He was lost, estranged from his Creator. But before we puff out our own chest, a little self-examination is in order. Paul may call himself the foremost sinner. He may be in that high security cell. But remember, you are under the same condemnation that he is. You too, along with everyone else in that prison, are under the sentence of death. Paul, at least, obeyed the law to the letter, at least outwardly. He was careful to follow all that was set forth in the Old Testament. How about you? Take a little trip through the Ten Commandments and see how you do. Examine your life as you should do every single day. And don't just look at the outward actions. Go with Jesus to the very heart of the matter, more precisely to your very heart. And you will quickly realize that your sentence is actually quite just. You have been condemned to death because you violated God's law in every way. Sinning isn't a competition. God doesn't grade on a curve, sorry. You aren't better off because you can find someone out there who's worse than you are. You can only draw one conclusion, having gone through the ringer of the Ten Commandments. Maybe Paul was a bit hasty in calling himself the foremost sinner. It seems that we may have a claim to that title. I am the foremost sinner, and so are you. If sinning is a competition, then it's a strange one, because we're all in first place. We all deserve the prize of eternal death. Every one of us is the sheep that went astray, the coin that was lost. Not one of us is righteous, no, not one. And so the governor's proclamation of pardon fills the prison with a very nervous hope. You wonder if this message of grace and mercy could possibly be true. How could you be pardoned? How could you be delivered from this sentence of death? You know who you are. You know that your condemnation is just. But then you watch the doors of that high security cell open up. And that hardened criminal, that worst of the vile offenders who called himself the foremost sinner, Paul himself, he goes free. How could this happen? Well, Paul tells us in our text today, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. How could this happen? Well, I'll tell you how this happened. Jesus showed Paul mercy. He sought out his lost sheep and carried him home on his shoulders. More than that, Jesus even made Paul a minister of the gospel, appointing him to proclaim that message of freedom to the rest of us, still dwelling in chains. Paul had nothing to do with it. It's all Jesus. Jesus gives Paul strength. Jesus judges him faithful. Jesus appoints him to his service. Jesus shows mercy. And more than that, grace, faith, love. Paul hasn't just been spared from punishment. He's been given everything, every good gift. His cup overflows and it runs over with faith and love. He now has an eternal treasure in the place of his chains, life in the place of death, freedom in the place of his prison, freedom in the eternal halls of heaven. And so Paul is sent to the other prisoners, he's sent to you and to me, with a message of hope and freedom, mercy and grace. Because Christ has saved me, says Paul, let no one doubt their salvation. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Jesus did everything. He came, he saved, and now he displays Paul. He shows him forth as the greatest example of his undeserved mercy and kindness. If Jesus can save Paul, if he can seek out and find that lost sheep, then he can save you. He can save me. He can save all people. Why? Because Christ died for all people. He died bearing all sin. Jesus made himself the worst of sinners. He said to his Father on Good Friday, I am the foremost. The foremost what? The foremost sinner. And he was. For on that day he carried the weight of the world's sin upon himself and bore it to the cross. There is not a single sin that Jesus did not die for. And while many may reject his forgiveness, there is not a single sinner who stands outside of his grace. Jesus made himself sin for us. And he nailed that sin to the cross. There he died in your place, in Paul's place. He died the death that every prisoner in that prison was condemned to die. And when your penalty is paid, there's nothing left but for you to go free. Jesus walked out of that tomb, victorious over death, to seek out lost sheep, to open the doors of our prison and set us free. He left that open tomb to seek out Paul, and he found him, creating faith within him in the bright light of the Damascus Road, making him an apostle to carry that message to the nations. And he left that open tomb to seek you out, and he found you in no less dramatic of a fashion, creating faith within you through the proclamation of the Word and the washing of holy baptism. Take heart. If Jesus can save Paul, that hardened persecutor of the church, he can save you. And he has saved you, carrying you back to his Father's house, upon his shoulders. There, the rejoicing will have no end. As Jesus himself says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Joy is the reaction in heaven and on earth to the found sheep, the found coin, the found Paul, and the found you. That is one of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons we gather together Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, to rejoice that Christ seeks out lost sheep. To rejoice that He has found you and me. And Paul can't contain his joy, having spoken of God's grace that has been shown to him, the foremost sinner. He breaks out in doxology. "To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." God was glorified when Christ put himself in the place of sinners and bore their penalty even to death. And God is glorified when this same Jesus goes out and finds lost sinners and brings them back to his Creator. Their Creator. The doors of our cells clang open. We are set free. And the Good Shepherd, God in the flesh, brings us home, crying out, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." In the name of Jesus, amen. We sing our sermon hymn number 611. 611. Again, welcome in the name of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who at this time we'd ask you to sign in and pass along the books, the rite of fellowship, as at the end of each pew. At this time also we receive our gifts and our offerings. Stand for prayer, beginning on page 265. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For the holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel, the calling of all to faith. For our radio station, as it begins construction of a tower this week, that you would grant safety to the workers, and that this tower would be for the proclamation of your gospel in our community. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather, and for the fruitfulness of the earth, and the protection of all from dangerous temperatures, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying and all who care for them, especially Disney, Anne, Marilyn, and the father of Jerry Garris, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, especially Arnette Garris and her family, as they mourn the loss of her mother, Pauline, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who rejoice, especially those rejoicing in the gift of marriage, Mariah and Connor joined at this altar last weekend, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy, multiply your mercy on us that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart that, by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
We
us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 594. 594. Again, a blessed evening in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who seeks out the lost sheep. I just want to head off any comments through the line. I did inadvertently say heresy in the sermon. I don't know if you caught it at the very end, and I corrected myself. As I said, Jesus brings the sheep to his creator. Well, Jesus, that's completely wrong. Jesus doesn't have a creator. I corrected myself. I just wanted to... I hope you guys were paying attention and catch that, because if you hear a pastor speaking real heresy and not by mistake, you kick him out of this place, okay? Couple of announcements for tonight. First of all, Bible class right afterwards in the fellowship hall, and we'll be studying 1 John, and we'll be in chapter 2. We'll be doing the last section of chapter 2, Antichrist. So come and enjoy some teaching about the Antichrist. How about that? Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Life Light, and we'll be studying the book of Job and continuing our trek through Job. So that will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If you did notice on the back here, Pastor Siebert, former vicar here at Good Shepherd, he has accepted a call to Lincoln, Kansas, wherever that is. I'm not sure where exactly Lincoln, Kansas. I think it's due south of Hastings somewhere. Is what it sounds like. So he accepted that call, and so he'll be making that transition soon. If you did not hear, just synodical news, President Harrison was reelected. They announced that this morning. So if you're curious about that, that news came out this morning. I don't think I have any other announcements. Anything else? Anything I'm missing? Oh, yes. Well, I mentioned in the prayers, construction has begun on our radio tower, so... eerily watch that as that continues. We've got a big hole there. I haven't looked inside of it, but I'm sure it's very deep. And we'll be putting a tower in that hole pretty soon here. So keep an eye on that. And certainly, as we did in our prayers, pray for the safety of the workers and for the mission of that tower will be seeking to perform in bringing Christ's word to our community. Lord's blessings.